folks. Welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matt T. Juice. What is up, everybody? Tommy, good to see you. Back for another game, another week, another episode.
Another game, another week, and another sneak peek into the minds of Tommy and Maddie. This week, it's going to be awesome. We have 33 Immortals, a game that we covered in beta, I believe, and it is out in early access, and we played it. We're going to talk about it, and all of our thoughts, we even played it together, which was fun. Or was it not fun? Stick around and find out. But before we do that, we do have some upkeep to do. First, we're gonna catch up. What's up? How you been? What's going on?
Yeah, been doing good. You know, nothing too crazy, to be honest. Let's see. What did I do this weekend? I feel like I never remember. Let me check the calendar, because that's always a good way to remember what you did this weekend. I think, honestly, I just, you know, did some more dog training stuff, just kind of chilled. Didn't do too much this weekend. Yeah, other than, like, stuff around the house. We're just, like, cleaning up a bunch of stuff, getting ready for the baby. And, yeah, played some 33 Immortals, too. You know, definitely carved out some time for that. So, excited to talk about it. But, yeah, not too much really going on, you know, this past weekend. It was nice. Slept in a little bit, you know, with the pup. And, yeah. What about you?
The puppy sleeps in when you do?
No. Oh, so... basically, right now, we actually keep him out in the hallway when we sleep, because we're trying to train him, because when we have the baby's got to be in our room, and like you're not supposed to have the dog in there at the same time, at least in the beginning. So originally, he would just sleep on the floor next to us in his bed, but now he's out in the hall. But then we have to get up at like 5 or 6 a.m. and let him out. Because he starts like crying and stuff. So we go let him out. And then when we come back in, then we let him in the bed for like the first few hours. So we like slept in, you know, till like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or something like that with him. So, yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, he comes in at like the end of the shift, you know, basically.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
You got to get ready for the baby. That makes sense. What did I do this weekend? I played a lot of Flesh and Blood. I went to two locals, armories, they call them. I did Saturday, did okay, 2-1, and then 3-0 on Sunday after we played 33 Immortals. I played some tennis with my sister, and then kind of just chilled as well. Nothing too crazy. Just like, it's been so busy and just like a lot going on. And I leave for Scotland in 2 weeks, so kind of just trying to get the ducks in a row a little bit. But, you know, hey, listen. I'm trying to game. I'm trying to podcast. I'm trying to do it all before Scotland, and then continue to do it again when I get back. But we do have a great episode for you all. It is 33 Immortals. We have some news, though. First, we have a Discord, which is free for everybody to join. Check it out, the Juice Heads. It's in the show notes below. And we hit 100 subby wubbies. 100 subs.
Yeah.
On the old YouTube. Can you believe that?
Amazing. Triple digits, and we're halfway to our goal. So, no, we appreciate it. Yeah, everyone who's been, honestly, our YouTube's been doing better and better lately. So anyone who's been watching over there, supporting us, we really do appreciate it, because as I learned from you, Tommy, you know, companies, they can't see the performance of our podcast, so they recommend that you start a YouTube channel for it, because those statistics are public. So, thank you guys for supporting over there. That, honestly, like, I think listening and watching over there, right now at least, until like podcast stats are more public, kind of helps us the most, right? I would be our recommended platform, I would say, if you're over there. So appreciate the support.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know we do get thousands and thousands of listens on the audio platforms, but
guess no one will ever know that.
No one will ever know. Although I will say, for those of you who enjoy the Spotify, I believe you can comment on Spotify podcasts, and now you can react with emojis. I think I got an email about that. So check that out. I don't know if that's something y'all are into, but it could be something that worth another new metric. How are our Spotify emojis doing is really what we're trying to really find out. So give that a little look. But
give that a thumbs up, all right?
Give it a thumbs up. And the only other big news here is something I actually saw. I was going to bring it up, but it has to do with the new Xbox. We don't really talk a lot about Xbox here. What's going on?
Yeah, so this is a leak, actually, where apparently Microsoft is planning to integrate Steam on Xbox, on that ecosystem. So there was a leaked image of a new like UI for Xbox. So I don't even know if it's a new system, but it's like a new update, I guess, for the existing Xboxes, we're assuming. And there's just a Steam tab where people are just assuming that's where the Steam store is going to be. You're going to be able to, you know, purchase Steam games and play them on your Xbox, which, you know, technically I would say makes sense, right? The Xbox is basically a PC. So there hasn't been any confirmation on this, but it's just really exciting to think about. And it's honestly something that I think, you know, as a kid, not necessarily Xbox and Steam, but I always dreamed of like, what if there was one system for Nintendo and Sony and Xbox? And it just, right? Like that would never happen, right? So it's just really cool to see this as a potential, you know, reality for Xbox. And honestly, it's, you know, they've been kind of behind, I would say, in terms of the sales with Sony. So this is a big step forward if this is true. But yeah, not necessarily indie game related, but we do know there are a lot of indie games on Steam. So getting that Xbox community, you know, access to them is a pretty cool idea too.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's very much indie forward thinking here, because it's just kind of hard to develop for the consoles like all at the same time for these indie developers. So I'm guessing if it's available on Steam, it should just be available on the Xbox, right? So like they don't even have to kind of worry about the integration there, I'm assuming, you know, if it's to work the way that I'm assuming it's going to work. But it's going to be a pretty huge step for Microsoft, I think. And I don't really see any reason to get like a PlayStation at that point, right? Because a lot of these PlayStation exclusives also come out on PC.
Well, they've started to, but they haven't been coming out like day one, like which is what Xbox was doing, which is really cool. At least as far as I know, they might have done it for like one or two Sony games so far, but like I know The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered is coming out on PC soon. Which is obviously already out and it's already been remastered. So it's, you know, they're still catching up there, because I do think there's still a large amount of people that are just going to buy PlayStation. One, because it's PlayStation, that's what they've always played. And two, because of like their exclusives are still good. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, you know, Microsoft has, ever since they realized they're not going to be able to win with exclusives, they've focused on like services like Game Pass and just trying to make, you know, like the cloud, they're trying to make like gaming way more accessible. So I think like this is a step, you know, is kind of a similar step to what they've already been doing, but it's a much bigger step because it's Steam. So yeah, really exciting. And also, you know, I've heard rumors, I know you have the Steam Deck, I've heard rumors that there won't be a Steam Deck 2, and instead, you know, this is all coming from this article,
yeah.
by the way. So this is people just kind of dreaming, but they said instead of there being a Steam Deck 2, Steam is just going to, or Valve is just going to like lend the IP to Microsoft to build the hardware. So it'll be a Microsoft, you know, hardware kind of portable gaming thing, but it's going to run Xbox and Steam on there, and I guess through like Steam OS. I don't know, that's what people have been saying, which is kind of a neat idea as well, but I don't think we'd be seeing that anytime soon if this, you know, they haven't even announced a partnership yet. So
I mean, yeah, it would be another huge power move, right? Because, you know, like what's the one thing that the Steam on Xbox doesn't do? It doesn't really compete with the Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden Xbox can make their own Steam Deck, then they're in that conversation as far as like doing both. So, I mean, it seems like a big power play. So it should be interesting. I'll be excited to see what comes of it. I haven't had an Xbox in years at this point. I even bought one, and I think I sold it. It's like I just wasn't playing it enough. You know, it's just there wasn't enough to play on it, I thought, at the time. But that would change things if Steam was on there, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's a cool idea, too, just because, you know, I'm someone that uses my Steam Link often, right? Like the game we're talking about today, I've sat on the couch and played it, and I really like that. You know, it's great to just be able to relax with a controller and play a game versus like sitting at your computer with a controller. And I think this would be even a great kind of alternative to the Steam Link, because Steam Link obviously is running from your computer and streaming it, mm-hmm. but this could potentially run like natively on an Xbox. So I would be considering, you know, getting an Xbox, which I have like an old one, but I've never considered getting any of the new ones because I'm like, why would I do that? But this would definitely be a console mover for me if I was able to get like a cheap Steam machine, essentially, for my TV.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting. And you mentioned the game that we played this week, which is 33 Immortals. What is this game, you may ask? Well, it comes from Thunder Lotus, who's made some other games like Jotun. I'm blanking on the other big one that they are known for, but it's developed and published by Thunder Lotus. It is on the Epic Game Store and Xbox, as well as Xbox Game Pass as well.
Spiritfarer,
which was a nominated game for game of, best indie at the Game Awards. 33 Immortals is a co-op action roguelike for 33 players. Play a damned soul and a rebel against God's final judgment. Pick up and raid, cooperate to survive hordes of monsters, defeat massive bosses, and face the wrath of God in a fight for your eternal life. This is an interesting concept where we are fighting a Christian God. We get a lot of the other religious gods in gaming sometimes, but Christian God was kind of a new twist here, kind of really based on Dante's Inferno, but we'll get to that in the story. Let's talk about the gameplay. You hop in. This is would you call this an MMO of sorts?
I'd say it's like a slice of an MMO.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
So you hop in and you're these characters, these kind of damned souls, and you just kind of end up in this like base area, much like any kind of roguelike, where you can kind of upgrade stuff. You have a couple different characters that you can talk to. You get to, train stuff as well, play with the different kinds of weapons. You have a nice tutorial to start off with too. But the main idea here is you are hopping into the world, and you have three choices. Well, currently only two in early access. And you have the Inferno and then Purgatorio, which you have to unlock Purgatorio first. And then we'll have the third chapter of Dante's Inferno in Paradiso for the third final battle. Now, you're going to spend most of your time in the Inferno. This is hell, for those who don't know. And you're going to be battling with 30 or 32 other players to run around, kill enemies, and then I don't even know what the time limit is. I guess like after X amount of minutes, the first doors to the torture chambers open. Now, whether the torture chambers, if you're watching the YouTube or watching the Spotify, you can see them right now. It's basically a Hades-style dungeon room where you're going to get hordes of enemies that you have to kill all of with or without the help of your other immortals that are running around. You hope that you have the help of the other immortals because it makes it a little bit easier. And you do that, you can unlock some stuff, and then that happens one more time. And then after that, you have to like try to ascend and face the final boss and gather all your really sick loot to kind of upgrade your character. Now, in terms of weapons, there's four different kinds of weapons you can start off with. You have daggers, you have a bow and arrow, or bow and multiple arrows, a heavy sword, and then like a staff of sloth, which is kind of like your control magic-y kind of a weapon. Not a lot of damage, but it slows down enemies and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the gameplay. You're kind of running around. You're trying to like coordinate with other players. You know, you can team up and get a party going of four players to enter. They did say in the roadmap that you should be able to do full private parties at some point, which would be kind of neat. But currently, you'll just you can hop in with a party of four and join in with the other 30 or 29 mortals. So you need to kind of work together, and this becomes really apparent as you go through the torture chambers. You definitely need to have people in there with you to fight. And then even if you get to the boss, there's a lot of cooperation there. And that's the core idea of this game, is you can't do this alone, right? This is not a game that you can just buff up and solo. And it's pretty cool. And people get a good feel for what you need to do and like how you need to be cooperative. And I don't know, the game loop's really fun and gets really epic in there. You know, when you're fighting these enemies, like, they are challenging and the boss is very challenging. And, you know, you even, like, before you can even get to the boss, you have these challenges you have to kind of overcome. When you're going to ascend, you need to be able to fight off these huge hordes of enemies while you try to ascend. It's a lot of fun, and it can be really hectic. And if you are not with a good group of people, you're gonna feel it. So I don't know. I really like the gameplay here. The loop was awesome. I was like, all right, one more run. All right, one more run. All right, one more run. So I was really digging it.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this game, you know, I think one of the things I just love about playing it, you know, obviously each run is just so exciting. Like you said, it's like challenging, but really just like entertaining. You know, it's satisfying actually like progressing through each run. But I love the fact that they have an unlock system where enemies will just drop these tokens and it will say, oh, new cape unlocked, right? Or, you know, kind of whatever it is, but it's very general about what it is. It doesn't actually tell you. So there's this like excitement that you get when you actually go back, even if you die, if you don't actually complete the entire run, where you go back to the Dark Woods area, which is like that lobby area that Tommy mentioned. And you're like, oh, I wonder like what this cape is or what this halo is I unlocked or this weapon skin or even like a perk that you get that actually affects like your gameplay. And then you can see like what your, you know, what kind of tasks. There's like a kind of a task board. There's like daily quests. And then there's kind of these like achievements, sort of different tiered achievements that you can unlock. And those actually upgrade your character permanently, which is exciting. So I love that part of it. I'm like, after I do that, I'm like, I just feel like, oh man, I'm so much stronger now. I want to do another run. And then I unlock a bunch of other stuff, or like, I look really cool, right? I got a new, I just want to do a run because I look cool, you know, like even if I didn't get any like stat upgrades. I think that it does such a great job of like getting you excited about these like random items dropping and seeing what you're going to unlock next. Like I just unlocked the ability to upgrade my weapons. I think it's like level 6 that you can get to. So that was exciting because I'm like, oh, this is like opening up a whole new possibility. And when I unlocked the weapon upgrade, it says, oh, now enemies can drop weapon upgrades. So I'm like, oh, like it's not just like free. I don't like use currency to buy certain things. It's like, oh, now I have something else to hunt for. Which is really cool. And then there's some other upgrades and stuff like that you can get. So I just, you know, with it being an early access game, I just really appreciate all of the satisfaction you get and like the depth that it has with unlocking things. And it's not like some of the things that you're unlocking are like really intricate or, you know, it's a very simple, you know, we'll talk about the art, but, you know, in terms of cosmetics, it's not like they're like blowing me away with how they look, but I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool, you know. And now my character feels a bit more unique, because every run, right, you're with 32 other people, you want to stand out a little bit. So I think that's just, you know, in terms of the gameplay, like that was one thing that really stuck out for me, is just this great gameplay loop of, you know, the runs are fun themselves, and then like getting that, you know, those unlocks afterwards and getting excited about what you unlocked. It's a reason I keep doing run after run, is I want to see what else there is. But then, you know, you talked about challenging enemies, really difficult boss. You know, obviously we tried the second kind of difficulty with 22 players. That did not work out well. We're not ready for that yet. So that's just another thing to kind of grind for, which is exciting. But it's still, you know, I started out the game never really ascending to the boss. Like it would happen and I would just get like destroyed. And I'm just like, how? Or I would get there and the boss battle would be taking forever. And then, you know, I was talking to you and you're like, oh, I don't, like, you know, you didn't think it was taking that long to get through the boss. I was like, all right, let me read some of the stuff in the compendium and really like understand what I'm supposed to be doing. And I started doing that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I had to like switch up kind of what I was doing. I can't like lone wolf it, which I was trying not to do anyway, but sometimes you just like randomly drift and you're like, okay. So I had to pay a little bit more attention to the map. And then now pretty much every run I do, I'm at least ascending and getting to the boss. And then like, you know, I think recently I've beaten it two runs, and the only reason we lost a third one was just we died at the last health bar for the boss.
Oh, man.
So we just like kept running out of people. It went from like 30 people down to like 18, like really quickly. So it just was unfortunate, but still it made me want to do another run. So yeah, really long way of saying, like, I think the gameplay in this game is fantastic. But it's the unlocks that they've, you know, that kind of like progression system that they've included that really makes you feel satisfied after doing each run. So, yeah, great. A+ on the gameplay for sure, Tommy.
Only in early access.
I'm excited to see as, you know, as they fill out that roadmap, which I'm sure we'll probably go over like at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of everything that's coming. So if you're interested in that, we'll definitely cover it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you really hit the nail on the head with the progression and the unlocks. I also kind of like the in-run progression as well. It's very simple, but like really challenges you to make the right decision, because throughout the game, throughout a run, I should say, you get this kind of purple dust that will fill up, and once you fill up that meter, you'll be able to go to one of the looking glasses or whatever they are and upgrade one of three things. You can upgrade your attack, which is obviously good to do, right? You want to be stronger. You can upgrade your health, which is, you know, you can tank up, or you can upgrade your empathy, which, you know, I was kind of staying away from, but it is really important because empathy powers up your like cooperative efforts, right? You have this one co-op special that you need two other players to participate in to kind of like do the thing. And if your empathy is high, it's going to be stronger. And same if you're attacking the same enemy as an opponent, or not an opponent, as a fellow player. And, you know, you're going to get buffs from that as well, which was pretty neat. And then there's also the relic system, which is kind of,
yeah,
basically like, honestly, if it was like Slay the Spire, right? You know, like these relics are going to be these permabuffs for your run that you can even re-roll, actually, which I haven't really done yet, but I'm going to be doing it because there's a mission for that. But it's really cool. Now, in terms of story, you know, this is a pretty flavorful roguelike, right? You know, this is, like, as I said before, Dante's Inferno, right? Which, if you don't know, was a poem written by Dante Alighieri a long time ago in the Enlightenment era, I think it was.
It's like the 70s.
The 1470s. and that'd be funny if it was actually the 1470s. I have no clue. But essentially, that story is about a person who goes to the afterlife and has to go through the nine rings of hell and then goes to, what year was Dante's Inferno?
The 1321.
Oh, and I should say, it's not Dante's Inferno is the first part. It's the Divine Comedy is the name of the poem. But got to go through the nine rings of hell in the book, but you don't really kind of go through the nine rings of hell in this per se, but you know, you're working your way to the center of hell to fight the boss. And then, in Purgatorio, it's purgatory, obviously. And you know, we didn't really explore much of that. We did one run and we were like, we just got like totally murked and, it is what it is. You know,
we'll come back stronger.
We're gonna play some more, but and then we don't have Paradiso yet, which is, you know, heaven, which is where we're gonna face off against the Christian God, which is, you know, should be. I mean, I doubt anybody's gonna make a real fuss of it, but the story elements are really cool here because you also have this really in depth compendium, as you mentioned. You have these kind of characters from those stories and other mythology kind of eras, like Charon is in the Dark Woods, and these characters you can talk to about like whatever you want to unlock, but they also have this like rich personality as well. I thought for what this is kind of really nailing the idea of filling out the flavor of a game that doesn't necessarily warrant a rich story. It feels like you actually have a purpose. You know why you're doing this. You're not just like, I'm trying to kill bad guys. You're like, no, I am this immortal soul that wants to like kind of get out of these realms of hell. So I enjoyed it. It's not the most fully fleshed out story, but I think this is probably more than most games of this similar genre.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like you said, it's good to have kind of like a purpose of why you're doing it. Like you feel, you feel like you should be working together with everybody else because you're all like in the same boat here. But also you're just like, you know, because of, we'll talk about the art, but I feel like because of the enemy design, you're just like, all right, these things are evil. And I got to kill him and get and ascend and try to get out of here. I think, you know, as far as, you know, those inherited kind of story elements, it works well. They do a little setup in kind of the beginning, but they basically just explain what the description of the game is on the Epic Games Store. They don't really go too far in depth after that. But I will say, and this is kind of tying into the art a bit, but when you actually do ascend and you get to that boss battle, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but the way it's kind of presented is very cinematic. And you know, they could have just, you know, kind of just had the boss fight start, but instead there's kind of this, you know, we'll talk about the art, but it ties into like kind of the story a bit, I would say, right? Of just adding a little bit more character, you know, adding that kind of personality of like Lucifer is who you're fighting. And I think, you know, it really does add to the game. Like every time I get to that part, I get excited to just watch the animation happen. Cause I'm just like, this is so cool. Like I want them to do more bosses. And I don't know, I guess Purgatorio is going to have some other boss. And then, like you said, for Paradiso, it'll be God, but yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so it's, you know, that kind of is a good segue, I guess, to the art. What do you think about the art in the game?
Oh, it's so cool. Like it's so hard to do this kind of illustrated like style and not have it be a little bit too cartoony, I think, like where it doesn't even feel like you're playing a video game. This kind of nails the middle ground there, where it honestly, and especially those cinematics, it looks honestly just like, it reminds me of Fantasia in a way, and like Hercules, a lot of these like classic like Disney animations from when we were a kid. but also like it has this really, you know, dark and twisted look as well. And the character design's pretty sick. I mean, like it feels animated but not forced, and I kind of love that. I love the cosmetics in the game. I mean, we were seeing that you can buy cosmetics in the Epic Store, and we're probably both getting them because
I bought them right before we started recording.
They look sweet, and like it just, I don't know. It's like this would have been so hard to really pull off, and I feel like they nailed it. You know, it is still early access, so like I do think there's probably some kinks to work out with some of the animations, but for the most part, I don't really notice anything. You know, here and there, I've noticed like a random like enemy will just kind of like stay in one spot and kind of glitch out. But I guess that's on the performance side. But it is early access. There's going to be bugs to be expected. So really love the character design and the enemy design. And yeah, the cinematics, I mean, like you talked about that. Like that was just so cool. It's just that first boss, it's kind of like a wow factor because it's not like there's a lot of cinematics going on in general. And they really show you that like this fight matters. Like, hey, this is like the big cheese, right? Like you're about to fight like a real serious dudes here. So, you know, I think, really like the art here.
I'm with you. You know, it's such a cool art style. I always, you know, when I was showing the game to Maria, but I'm just like, this is like, it reminds me of like He-Man, mm-hmm. especially when you get to that boss fight. And I'm just like, this is just so cool. That like kind of 90s, I guess like, was He-Man in the 90s, maybe in the 80s too? I don't know. Late 80s. I don't know. But regardless, really just awesome, like simple yet interesting art style. And, you know, there is like, I would say some inspiration from Hades, but not like really close. Like I'd say Sworn is more similar to Hades than this game art wise. But yeah, really, really like the animation here. The enemy design is just so you really feel like you're getting swarmed at times, or like you know, like you're in deep shit basically. They do a great job with just the way these enemies look, especially some of the bigger ones. They're just really cool to look at. But obviously you have to kill them. You can't just stare at them. But sometimes I was like finding myself just like, wow, like look at this animation he's doing. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the you know, the path of destruction here. But yeah, really enjoyed kind of the world as well. The environment looks good. You know, there are sometimes weird animation things. I would say like sometimes it happens when there's a bunch of players like trying to open the same chest, or like trying to use the same kind of like pedestal or whatever you want to call it, the thing that they're at right now, if you're watching the video. So I don't know if that's like a, you know, a real art issue or like a control issue. But I do think that the UI is good. I will say that like, it takes a little bit to get used to like what you're looking at here. They don't really explain, you know, everything. Like I know at one point we were, at least for me, I was like, what's that thing next to the key? And it's like, oh, it's a teleport stone. I'm like, well, what does that do? So that's where the compendium really comes in handy when you're at that lobby area, and it explains every part of the game and you start to understand what the icons are. So I think, you know, once you get, you know, comfortable with the UI, it's good. I would maybe like to see some of the actual interactive icons a little bigger, maybe. You know, for example, like opening up a chest, or just interacting with really anything, even like interacting with the kind of the specials that the other characters can drop, the other players can drop. Mm-hmm. But that's not really like a big issue. This game, because there's 33 people, they kind of need to be zoomed out maybe a little bit, you know, so that you can obviously see what's happening. But there are times where like, I'm just like, there's a lot going on. I really wish this icon was a little clearer for me. Like if I have to pick, I'm trying to run and pick up a perk and like things are going insane. you know, sometimes I would just like that icon maybe to be a little bit bigger so I could time it right. But that's a really, really small issue with a game that is like so amazing when it comes to the art. It's fun to watch. I was watching streams of it, and you know, it's fun to play, obviously, because of the art style. So that's what makes me so excited about when I unlock those cosmetics, is like, it's not just because I got a new cosmetic, it's because I know what the art style is going to be. I'm like, oh, like, it's part of the reason I bought, like, you know, the skins from the shop as well, just because, like, they don't do anything. They just look really cool. So they hit it out of the park.
You get a pet too.
You get a pet. Yeah. Yeah. And there's some really cool looking pets. They also do a good job in terms of like, they use like this neon fire, you know, kind of like when there's events coming in, or when like the torture chambers open, or when like the ascension portals and spots are open. And it really makes you feel like you're ascending, you know, well, I won't say ascending, but it really has this like holy kind of, you know, theme to it. So I think that was really well done as well. And it makes it feel epic when things are going on. So I think that was super important for this game too. Is like, obviously if you're playing with 32 other people, you want it to be an epic experience. So the art needs to be able to carry that. And I think it does exactly that with this game. So I'm really excited to see like what other bosses or enemy types or whatever they introduce that's like a new art style. I'm really curious to see what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, it should be kind of interesting. I think they do plan on introducing new bosses, like a rotation of bosses at the end of each region. So that would be pretty neat. But yeah, it looks great. It's awesome. Now, in terms of the music, you know, the sound effects sound good. You know, this is, you know, it has like the nice little satisfying like clinks and clangs, you know, especially when you're, depending on the type of weapon you're using, it all feels exactly how it is. Like the tanky sword feels tanky, even by sound alone. And then the soundtrack is quite good. I pulled it up. It's by Max LL. And honestly, it just adds to the dark church vibe. It just feels like you're in an evil church with these like organs and these crescendos that kind of like almost Bach-esque in a way. And it definitely gets you pretty hyped up, especially as things get like more intense as you're moving through. So huge fan of everything going on there as well.
Same here. Just really epic vibes. And something I forgot to mention in the art, but also relates to the sound, is when you're in that lobby area, that dark woods, and you go up to the gate to start a run, it's so epic looking. Mm-hmm. And the music changes and it kind of pans out a bit, and you see this massive gate that you have to walk through. And there's all these like kind of they're not other players. They're just part of the environment, but they're like these like souls, I guess, that are going through this gate. So the sound there just builds it up perfectly for like these epic runs. And obviously the visuals help with that too. You know, enemy sounds, all the sound effects in the game, I think, you know, they do a good job for sure. Now, if I heard this, would I know it was 33 Immortals right away? Maybe not. But if I feel like the more I'm going to play, the more I'll kind of be like, you know, I could probably get it, you know, at like second or third guess maybe. But it's definitely not, you know, I would say like unique to 33 Immortals. It's not like, at least that's how I feel about it, but it's still amazing and really does help with the epicness. I'm going to keep saying epic because it really just feels like that in this game.
And it's on the Epic Game Store.
There you go. There you go. That's why. Oh my God. So yeah, it's actually every time we say epic, we get paid by Epic. So yeah, that's pretty epic. But yeah,
if only.
Yeah. No, but the sound is just fantastic in the game. And I think the soundtrack is also now available on all like streaming platforms as well. And I think you can buy it as well. So if you guys are interested in what it sounded like before playing, you could go check that out.
Yeah. I would say, I think a couple of the tracks I would be like, this sounds like 33 Immortals, and then look, and then it was. Especially the boss battle and like the walk up sound, for yeah. sure.
But, I just don't know like how confident I would be like, oh, immediately. Yeah, yeah. You know, like you hear like, you know, obviously like Zelda, you're like that's Zelda, you know, like this, I probably would take me a second and I'd be like, okay, 33 Immortals. Probably.
It would be one of those like, how do I know this? I know this from somewhere. But no, all solid points. Now, performance wise, it is in early access, but like, you know, there's definitely some bugs that they're working out, but like nothing like game breaking. You know, a couple enemies that would like kind of that you can kind of cheese sometimes, but you know, it wasn't really taken away from my enjoyment of the game. And you know, they're pushing hot fixes and updates all the time. I mean, I think I got a Discord notification today that they're about to push something. So nothing game breaking, and all stuff that they're aware of so far, and will continue to monitor, which is very, I was going to say heartwarming, <It's> encouraging, I should say. I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, that's what I kind of witnessed.
Yeah, I, you know, overall performance is totally fine, for me as well. You know, I had that one issue actually when we were playing together where I couldn't use my special ability. For some reason I was using Xbox controller, on my PC. And, when I would hit, I think it's right trigger, to use your special ability, it would just heavy attack for some reason. And there's no way to remap keybinds, I think, currently in the game. So I wasn't able to like test it with that. I had to end up just relaunching the game, but we still got through the run, I think, or we got close. So it wasn't a, you know, game breaking bug or anything like that. And I actually went to go report it, and they have a massive list of like known issues in the game, and that was already on there. So they're working. They, you know, they're aware of a bunch of different kind of smaller things, and they're working on pushing those fixes out, which is, like you said, encouraging
and heartwarming. Let's just
and it's heartwarming. So you know, that was just one small thing. But it's, you know, overall, just it ran fine, and which is really impressive, to be honest. Like, you know, I know the art style, you know, it's got some depth to it, but it's also not like super intensive of an art style. And, you know, you're playing with 32 other people and everything seems to be working fine. So it is pretty impressive that they were able to get it without any weird lag, especially that I noticed that when you go to the boss fight, you're kind of in this like dark area. You don't actually see the boss yet. And, you know, there's you can like walk around a little bit, and maybe some people will like kind of prep things. They'll like, you know, you can drop like a shield down for people. It's really doing it so that everyone connects. And once everyone's connected, then it starts the boss battle. You know, it's not really like on a timer. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, that's smart. You know, rather than like sitting and watching a loading screen until everyone's there, it's like they kind of put this little lobby area together for the boss battle. So, you know, that was a really smart decision, I think, too, because it just makes the gameplay a bit better. So, yeah, no performance issues, but some cool little, you know, things like that I think make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah, and that's going to bring us to the rating. Our ratings are as follows. Our best games are Certified Fresh Juice. These are our Balatros, Preserves, Norb Apologues of the world. You have A Steal after that. These are things that are pretty good, but not perfect, but we definitely recommend them. Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. Then you have On Sale, which is games that, you know, has some issues, but if you can get it on sale, you'll probably enjoy it. These are things like Wizard with a Gun, Hellskate. And then we have Manager Special after that. These are like deep discount games we didn't really enjoy, but there's probably some redeeming qualities there. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, which is a game that we wouldn't recommend to anybody. I'm gonna start here with mine.
Kick it off.
This is the easiest Certified Fresh Juice, not ever, but it is a easy Certified Fresh Juice. And I mean, if I were to err on the side of caution, maybe I would say a low Certified Fresh Juice, but I don't even think I really believe that in my heart. So it is a solid Certified Fresh Juice. For this being early access with a lot of the content to still come, is pretty incredible. And like this studio being able to pull off this like massive online multiplayer experience so well, and take all these things from other games that we already love. Everybody knows that we love these games, and put it into this package and do it so well is very impressive. It's very exciting. I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, Matt, this is short list for game of the year for me so far. And, you know, I know we still have a lot of 2025 left, but look out for those juicies at the end of the year, because I think 33 Immortals is probably going to show up a little bit.
You know, it's funny you said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say. This is currently my game of the year. I've been having so much fun playing 33 Immortals. I'm giving it a certified fresh juice, if you couldn't guess already. I'm very excited for the future of it. My only kind of concern with the game is I just hope it keeps a player base, which, great start so far. Let's make sure there's not too much time between maybe content updates, because that's just going to hurt the overall experience. And then they'll need to make balancing changes maybe. And then, you know, you got 33 baked into the name, right? So you can't really change that. You know, so that would be my only thing, is like, I want to keep playing this game for a while. I think it would be so much fun to somehow do a private lobby, right? We were talking about maybe at PAX, that could be a cool idea. But even like, I don't know, I have like a desire to like couch co-op this game, if that was even possible, right? Like, I think it just has so much potential. So yeah, I'm giving it a certified fresh juice. Also, one thing that I forgot to mention during the gameplay that I just thought was really cool is you mentioned relics. There's those kind of perks you get during your run, and only for that run. I actually, and there's something called perks, right, which are permanent upgrades that you can apply back at the lobby. So I had a perk that was like a plus, I don't know, plus like 3 or 4 attack. So once you actually start a run, you already kind of start with more attack, which is cool. And then I got a, you know, after I upgraded my attack a bunch during that run, I got a relic that was like, your vitality is half of your attack. So I just got like a huge boost in health. And it was like right before like the ascension started. And I was like, this is perfect. We just like dominated. By the way, if you're in a lobby with people with bows, just when you get to that boss battle, it's just a melt fest. Like everybody is dropping their specials down. Like it's so much fun. And you know, everybody's just having a great time doing that too, just kicking ass. So anyway, that I should have mentioned that in the gameplay section, but I just wanted to sneak that in there. But this is definitely a certified fresh juice for me. I'm excited to see the updates they have for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll talk about a little bit of the roadmap stuff. There are currently, like, if you're in the Dark Woods, the main area, you could see that there's more weapons that they will release. They have 4 empty slots there. And if you look at just like the art of like the main, you know, I guess marketing art for 33 Immortals, the second character closest to the top of the pile is like holding like a halberd kind of axe, which is not in the game right now. I'm hoping that ends up in the game. And then you see some other weird weapons, like a crossbow even. So hoping to see some of that. Now, roadmap-wise, let's see what we have here. Spring 2025. So right now, bug and stability fixes make sense. Balancing, accessibility options, control rebrinding, graphic settings. This all makes sense. Just came out. Make sure this game gets as polished as possible. Summer 2025, private sessions, which we mentioned, the ability to decorate the Dark Woods, so you can like customization, which is going to be, you know, just like added cool stuff that you could probably find within your runs as well. Additional trainings, so like more kind of like free loot, basically. You get to do like a training and get some free loot. Ability to descend after ascending. Not really sure what that's going to mean, but, you know, that
should be cool.
It does sound cool. New feats. These are kind of like the missions. An ordeal system, which I don't know if we know what that is. And then fall, the major update is the Paradiso. Or I guess it's just Paradiso. Diso. New monsters, new boss, new feats. So that is for 2025. And, you know, I think that they're kind of being not even coy about saying that there's going to be more in 2026. So pretty exciting stuff. 33 Immortals, good game. Check it out. If you want to play with us, please let us know in the Discord. And now, we don't know what we're going to play next week yet, but we're going to figure it out. We do have listener questions, though. These can be asked within the Fresh Juice Discord. First one comes from Bags. You both have been creating content for years. What is your favorite piece of content you have ever made?
Oh, my God. This is a tough one. I was thinking about this one before the show because I don't know. I don't really get like super attached to my content. I'm just like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I just want to try to make the best video I can. And then when I put it out there, like if, you know, if it does well, great. If it doesn't do well, I'm like, okay, I maybe I won't do that sort of topic anymore or whatever it might be. I don't really like, I don't know, view it as like, oh, I love this video I did on update 25, a once human, you know, like that sort of stuff. But if I had to think of like my entire kind of career, quote unquote, on YouTube, I did some videos of like when we went to our first PAX. I think I made like a little montage of it. I always like going back every now and then and like watching that because like it just, we just had a fun time and it was just, it's just cool to like have a look back in time. And then for years, I did like Gears of War videos and I would make like these little montages, which were like, I wasn't like that great of a player, but like there'd be cool stuff I did. And I'm like, oh, I'll clip that and I'll put it together and put like a cool song or whatever underneath. And I just had a lot of fun doing that because the community was like so supportive. You know, so there's kind of like these eras of videos that I think are my favorites, but not a specific like kind of piece of content. But what about you, Tommy? You've been in the content world for a while as well.
This is a tough one. You know, I'm usually pretty happy with everything that I put out. But like, it's kind of funny, like metrics wise, my best video I've ever done was a podcast I did with Brian Gottlieb, who, former Magic the Gathering developer, designer, turned head developer and designer of Flesh and Blood. And, you know, was also a content creator in the Magic sphere for a very, very long time. And I had him on. I had him on twice now, probably maybe three. No, it was twice so far. First time was great. Obviously, it was just kind of getting to know him. The second one was pretty interesting. I got to have him on after he became like head designer and developer. And it was in a period where Flesh and Blood was having this kind of not tumultuous time. It like the power spikes of the game design was so high. And there was like one or two decks just dominating. And it became a little bit toxic. And they made adjustments. But I got to get him on the show right when that happened and before they made the adjustments. So kind of got to have a candid conversation because he's really cool and willing to answer anything. This like candid conversation about like, well, how does this make you feel when you see the community kind of like really emotional about what's going on? And I thought that was like a really cool conversation to have and, you know, to have him be really cool about it. But other than that, just like I love this podcast. I mean, I love my other podcast too, but this podcast is like, you know, no holds bar, just kind of like video games and, you know, just kind of hanging out. So yeah, thanks for the question, Beck. And any podcast of Just Because I've been on, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
But
and any raps you've done.
Any raps, which we don't need to talk about those. We don't need to be talking about those. Now, Capolo asks, do you think that Vampire Survivors like Bullet Hell Heaven is the indie game genre of 2025?
So I think that it might have been last year, more so. I don't know. I feel like I actually feel like the kind of indie game genre of 2025 are actually games we haven't really been playing, which is weird to say, but I think it's like the generation, you know, below us or whatever. They really like these like meme games. Like I keep seeing this game like Repo. There's like Lethal Company. You know, these I know Coppola linked a game where like you just dig a hole in a backyard. Like these kind of games that like are kind of like TikTok trendy. I feel like I've seen them more and more like pop up and like more interesting, like that game Repo that came out recently. Like the characters look all silly. They almost look like the android mascot. I guess it's like a horror kind of game, but it's like silly with your friends. Like I feel like that is maybe going to be like the indie game genre of 2025, but I do anticipate more like bullet hell and survivor like games to be coming out. And or maybe it's something like a Hades, like, you know, we have Sworn already this year. I kind of can, maybe 33 Immortals is a little bit in that category too. Maybe that's kind of going to be the genre for the year. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I'm feeling like Vampire Survivors likes are like a 2024 big trend. But we'll definitely get more of them this year. But what do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think 2024 was when they really hit the kind of mainstream, like everybody started making them, and we're still going to get the residuals of that over the next year or so. But I think there it could be either one of two things. The first is games like Keep Driving, right? These real kind of artsy but like relaxing games. I think what's the other one coming out? Let's Go Fishing, which is kind of like basically similar art style. These like, you know,
like cozy.
Cozy, but cozy for an audience that is a little bit broader, I think, than your typical cozy games. But also I keep seeing more and more inventory management games. And roguelike-y kind of versions of that. Like, I think we saw a couple of those in the past 2 years, but like I see more and more every time I like look on Steam or like get a trailer for a new game on my YouTube or whatever. It's like, check out this inventory management thing, like Backyard Hero, or not Backyard, Backpack Hero.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So that could be that this year's genre, but I don't know. It'd be interesting no matter what. I mean, like Sworn and 33 Immortals coming out and Hades 2 probably coming into 1.0 at some point this year is probably a big sign for that as well. But those games have been around, so like those kinds of games. So we will see. But great, great question, Coppola. R. Carp says, the Easter Bunny is hopping to us soon. Which game or games utilize their jump button the best? I like this question.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So I think, like obviously, like a game like Super Mario 64 is just so much fun. Jump around, like Super Mario Sunshine. Really, any of the like 3D Mario adventure games are pretty good with that sort of stuff. Outside of that, I mean, I always enjoyed it in like Halo. It was always fun because you kind of have like the anti-gravity sort of jumping, which is cool. And I'm trying to think of like what other games I really enjoy the jumping in particular. What about you, Tom? You got anything that comes to mind?
I think the easy answer is Mario.
Yeah.
And like Sonic is like kind of pretty fun too, you know. But Sonic jumping, actually, I will say, feels like you're doing the thing that you don't want to be doing in Sonic, which is just going fast. I think, like, honestly, because this is from my wife. So when she asked it in person. So I was like, oh, this is a good question. Tony Hawk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is arguably the most satisfying jump you can do in a video game. So I was thinking that, like Castlevania, especially when you get your double jump, Super Smash Bros. Like is like a game of jumping. So stuff like that. Like I'm sure I'll think of like other ones later, but those kind of pop out to me now.
Yeah, I will also like I always loved it in like Super Meat Boy because like you can just jump really far. So when you actually like land perfectly, you're not like sliding off and dying or whatever. It's pretty satisfying. But yeah, I'm sure there'll be something that comes to my mind for this one too, where I'm just like, oh, of course, like I love jumping in this game or whatever. I can't even think.
I mean, like platformers are always going to kind of hit there. Like Celeste is probably maybe the right answer here. Shovel Knight has a pretty fun jump, especially when you can use the shovel to bounce, which is pretty fun. Yeah. I mean,
Animal Well is pretty good too.
Oh, Animal Well had a really satisfying jump. So, you ever played Jazz Jackrabbit?
No, I've only watched it, actually. But no, I haven't. Yeah, because it was made by Cliff Bleszinski, I think, who is the guy who created Gears of War.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's posted it like on his Twitter. I think it was Jazz that he made.
I played so much Jazz Jackrabbit 2 on my like Windows 95 computer when I was a kid. Cliff. So sick. I don't even know if there was really any good jumping in it, but it has bunnies in it, so that counts.
Yeah.
Next question comes from K-more. How come you haven't gotten an orange juice sponsor yet?
Well, if you're listening, Tropicana or Simply or what there's other ones, I don't know, Amy's orange juice. There's one called Amy's. My parents drink it.
Oh, is it like the Amy's like mac and cheese?
That's Annie's. Oh. Wait, is there an Amy's? I don't know. But I don't know why yet. Actually, we're getting a milk sponsor, believe it or not. So we're gonna have to change the name to Fresh Milk.
Fresh Milk
soon. but I don't know. We don't have any sponsor yet. So,
and that's why you know that you're getting the real sauce from us. So,
yeah. Speaking of sauce, this episode is sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Why? Okay. I mean, they do have their own sauce. So,
yeah. Chick-fil-A sauce.
I was going to say like Classico or Ragu.
Yeah. Okay. Ragu.
Ragu. Yeah. Well, you know what? Our DMs and emails are open. And so is the Rec Room, which is where we're going to go next. This is where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game, and then we're going to say our goodbyes. What are you recommending for us this week?
I am recommending season 2 of a show called Severance, which I think I recommended the first season of a bit ago. But season 2 just wrapped up. It's on Apple TV. It is, I believe, Ben Stiller is a executive producer, and it's a really great season overall. I think people are hyping up the finale a little bit too much, saying like, you know, it's like a 10 out of 10, but like, it was pretty good. You know, it was pretty good. But I also do think there were some things that were like just a little inconsistent, but, it's a really interesting show. It's one of those shows where, the idea of the show, if you don't know about Severance, is that there's these people that they decide to get this like surgery by this company called Lumen, where they are getting severed. And what that means is that when they go to work, which is at a Lumen building, they're a different person. And then when they leave work, they become their Audi, it's called. So your innie is at work, your Audi is outside of work. And then so all these things kind of ensue, but it's a weird show because they don't really tell you a lot. You're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is just weird. But then things start to kind of unravel a bit, which is what a lot of season 2 was. So it was really satisfying because season 1 kind of left you with a ton of questions. You still have questions after season 2, but at least you got some answers. So, yeah, just really well done. Honestly, Apple TV in general could be something I recommend. I love a lot of their shows, but Severance season two definitely was a great one. Very excited for season three. And hopefully I don't have to wait like 3 years again like I did for the first one, because it came out in 2020, or I guess 5 years, whatever. I don't know. I think it was 2020. Maybe they were filming it. But so there were some delays there. But yeah, great show. Highly recommend Severance if you're, you know, interested in a just a new experience, really. It's like no other show I've seen before. So, yeah, there you cool. go. Boom.
It's on the list for sure. We're watching The Sopranos right now. So,
yeah,
I mean, and we're taking our time with it. I mean, that show's so great. But it does sound good. Filmed at my wife's office building and maybe somebody else we know.
Yep. That is correct. Yeah. It's weird seeing that building in there.
No, my dad worked at that building like 40 years ago, which is crazy. But hey, crazy. I don't know. I'm recommending a movie, a nice little dumb comedy called Let's Start a Cult. It's written and starred starring both comedians Stavros Halkias and Wes Haney. It is about a cult, a suicide cult, where they don't really like the one guy, Stavros's character, and then they tell him to go do something, and then they all kill themselves, and he comes back, and he just like goes home, and then he realizes that the leader of the cult didn't kill himself. So he goes to find him, and then they start a new cult together. So it's fun. It's stupid. It's not like great by any means, but it was like a low budget, like, you know, 30 theaters maybe showed it.
Yeah.
But Stavros is pretty funny. If any of you are familiar with him, there's also this great comedian in it, Daniel Simonsen, who is from Norway, that I just love his delivery, and he just makes me laugh so much. So, and also this one guy I used to watch on Vine, I think. Or maybe it was TikTok, or not, wasn't it? Was, I mean, he was on TikTok, but like maybe it was just like Twitter videos he would make. I forget, it was Eric something. People want to say Haney, but that was the name of the.
Ethan Suplee?
Nope,
that's not it. Joe Pera.
He's another comedian. He's funny. He was in it.
Robert Kelly, Daniel Simonsen, CM Punk.
No, not CM Punk, the wrestler, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't. The rest are women. Is it? It's not a woman.
Was it? Was I getting the? Let's start a call. Let me.
Sarah Chariparr, Katie Fullen, Edie Modica, Leslie Zhang, Claire O'Kane. This is just what Google's. It might not be showing the whole cast here too. Happy. Tom Papa.
No, it wasn't Tom Papa. New Jersey comedian Tom Papa. How about that?
Yeah. There you go. Jersey, baby. That's what we're recommending. We're recommending Jersey.
Jersey. What the hell? Does he not have a picture? CM Punk.
Christopher Collar. We're going to figure... Jeremy Levick. What's his character? What is he... do you know his name?
Wait, let me go to all cast and crew. Wait.
Scotty Nelson.
Eric Rahill.
Eric Rahill?
Yeah. He doesn't even have a picture.
He doesn't. Tyler.
But he is so funny. His videos on like Twitter and stuff like that, just he does like the I don't even know how to describe it. It's like the fake influencer videos. Like from like 10 years ago, like when influencers were like starting to pop off. He would do these really great, what do you call them? Satires of that. Okay. So I'll share some with Matt, and then this will just be between us, and that's all I need to know. But I guess that's the show, folks.
Wait, hold on a second. Have you seen this? Speaking of influencers, have you seen this guy going viral that is like, he's this buff dude and he like, he does like a day in the life sort of video. He like posts these all the time, apparently, but people are like making fun of him because like it'll be like, you know, he doesn't commentate it. It just has the time of when he's doing these things and like what he's doing. And like, it's like 4:02 and he's like waking up and he's like dunking his head in like a bowl of ice. Yeah. Ice water. And he's like brushing his teeth with like bottled water. And then even he goes to like the pool and it says like 7:30. And then he's diving in the pool, and right before he lands, it's like 7:36. It's like you were in the air for 6 minutes. Like, what is this video? Like, it's just people are like, he just rented this like, you know, $1 million Airbnb, or, you know, if you owned it actually, but he just rented this Airbnb of this really nice place, and he makes these videos as if like this is his lifestyle. And but it's so ridiculous. He's like up at like, you know, 3:58. And he does nothing for like 4 hours, literally nothing. So anyway, that just reminded me. I was like, yeah, this has been going like viral. And he eats a banana and he rubs a banana peel all over his face. Like it is. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend watching it if you're out there because it is so interesting. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen more parodies of it than I have the actual, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But hey.
Anyway.
That's the show, folks. I've been one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. You can find me at all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh Buds. Check it out. You can find this show and see also the mouse. How about that? You can you can find this show at Fresh Juice Pod everywhere, anywhere. And where can people find you, Matt?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. I've been posting more on YouTube, planning to do some Twitch streams. And I did stream some 33 Immortals, actually, the day it came out. So pretty cool stuff there. If you're interested in checking out the game, I will probably be live with it at another point.
Yeah. Awesome. Juice Fresh Podcast.